Good morning. How are you today? Good. I am a little bit of a familiar face, but not to everybody. I am a retired minister on staff here. I put 10 hours a week in for you guys, plus needed. And so I wonder if you need to know a little bit more about me before we get into the scriptures and the sermon. Part of my responsibility is visiting the mature Christians. Well, that leaves out the choir, but otherwise. So, if you have any gray hair on your head, you've probably seen me a time or two in your life around here. Somebody needs to grow some hair. But I usually go around and see people. During the New Year's holiday, I was visiting someone who was in a special unit for care. And I had a prayer with them. I like to do that. And I prayed something that this year would be kinder to you than the current year, which was 2019. And then I said, I hope you too will have kindness. And she said to me, or the person said to me, praying for kindness is a great gift. And I hope you will have kindness this year as well, and the year will be kind to you. If I had a resolution, I think I would pick that up. I would say, for me, let me put that on like I put a coat on or a robe on like I am today. May kindness be part of my life in such a way that if you can't remember who I am or what I said or what I do, you remember, that was a kind guy. My father was a kind person. Good example. Today, we are stepping outside the scheduled series of sermons on change, change, change. I tell you a little secret. Every time you come to worship God in His house, it should be special because you come to be changed. You want to leave the house different than you came in, and that doesn't mean leaving your coat in the pew as you go out. It means allowing God to touch your life in such a way that He gives you another portion of His love, assures you that He will protect you and care for you, confront you with a shortcoming that you have committed or do commit, but that He will still love you anyway. Today is the Sunday where many of the churches that Christians are part of celebrate the baptism of Jesus. Now, where in the church, if you came to the first church, you don't get to answer. Where in the church is the stained glass window of Jesus being baptized? Anybody know? Ah, you were at the first service. Uh-huh. Good. What would you call that room that we have the baptism?
Storage.
The storage room. I don't know why I'd call it that, but that makes sense, doesn't it? Storage room.
I call it Fernando's
workshop. The what? Yes. Yes. Today in many churches, they will celebrate the baptism of Jesus. Let me read you from the Gospel of Luke, Dr. Luke's vision of that, his witness to that event. He said it in very simple words. Two verses describes what he said. When all the people were being baptized, this is Luke 3, verse 21 and 22, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Now that word too kind of extends itself in the Greek to mean also. He was included in being baptized. Remember that. Jesus was included with the rest of the sinners to be baptized. And as he was praying, heaven was open and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." In one verse, what did he say? Huh? What was God saying there?
Acknowledgement,
right. Recognition, right. And that was his son, right. Acceptance of his love found in Jesus Christ, right there. A place for the Trinity is seen. Father, Son, and Jesus the Son must be divine. And the Holy Spirit coming down as a dove form is the second of the two, three in the Trinity. So from Sunday school, we have a lesson given to us today of the simplicity of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I better not go that way. I was warned not to walk too much, but I do walk a little bit. I quit standing behind the pulpit all these 15 years ago because we're in a new age. People see and hear the gospel by who you are and how you share it. And I'm a retired minister. That meant that the day we retired, my wife's blessings were upon me, and happy to know that. And I got rid of 1,800 books on that very day. So I don't have the tools I had when I was in active ministry, because as doctors need books and lawyers need books, so do pastors need books. You can't be out in wilderness somewhere in the Midwest somewhere preaching the gospel, and you think, well, what does that mean? Let me go to the local a theological library. Oh, that's back in Georgia. I can't make it that far. But I don't have the tools. I still have about 500 books. My wife is still praying that there might be a revelation of a light going on in my head. And you don't need that anymore. You're becoming a watercolorist. So why do you need all those when you paint pictures now? I don't. I have a Bible, a biblical word, and I have life experience. And that's what you get from a retired preacher. Life experience themselves, a life experiencing through the body of Christ, you all as well. So, what can we learn from the baptism of Jesus? From the Bible, we saw a voice from heaven speaking, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Acknowledgement. He was pleased with Jesus. This was his Son. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Well, how can we understand that in the 21st century? What can we do to bring into perspective who we are with regards to the baptism of Jesus? Does it mean anything to me in my life as the 21st century person, as a disciple? Perhaps I can use a couple of illustrations. Oh, yes. Long sermons are not preached by old people. So you get a two-part sermon instead of three today. Some time ago, when my wife and I were up north, our daughter Christy got married in Bradenton, Florida. And so we went to the rehearsal at 3:30 in the afternoon. And at 5, it got over, and we went to the beach. Is it Beach House? Beach House. And there, we enjoyed the dinner. But we were interested in seeing the sun go down. We looked out the west to the horizon, and slowly the sun began to descend. And then all of a sudden, bang, it disappears. It goes down. And there's a flash of light, and there's a little green light that appears sometime, not all the time, appears on the horizon. Wow. Everybody sat in awe, mesmerized by that beautiful event. And you couldn't say a thing, but use the eyes to see and respond to one of God's great gifts. Then my daughter said, "Would you have the blessing on the food?" Bill Hall and I, Bill Hall is a classmate of mine from seminary, and we both went to school in Memphis together. I went to Memphis State. He went to Southwestern by the Zoo. No, I'm not supposed to say that. He went to Rhodes College, which is across town. And we were more formally dressed for this rehearsal than the average Floridian. But a sport coat felt good on the shores of the beach as the wind came across, and it felt nice. I just didn't give a simple blessing. I gave more of an affiliation of who the couple was, an acknowledgement of some of the needs that need to be experienced to provide a good marriage, and a challenge as well. I open with the thought that tomorrow about this same time, you will have experienced the sun have gone down from today, and your days as single persons has gone down also. And somewhere that evening, the next day, you will be pronounced husband and wife, no longer two single persons. And the two will become one. And so some of the remarks I am going to give to you, I said, remind me of this experience of becoming a family, a new family, a new unit of oneness. Be open to spontaneity if in your life, that God will guide you in unusual ways, in different places, in different relationships, but you too will be one. Don't be surprised if what you've thought out and dreamed about and anticipated doesn't come to be exactly the same thing that you thought originally. Be ready to respond with openness and be ready to give love to one another. The kind of love that holds no object against the other. Kind of love that forgets and forgives one another. Because there are times unexpectedly that one or the other will be in a pickle on what do I do? I've offended my spouse. I need her grace to touch my life. I need his grace to touch my life. Grace, a part of the formula for success. Love and grace. How about hope? Could we add hope in there? Would hope be nice to have that the dreams that they have together and the oneness is based on a hope found in Jesus Christ to equip them to live life a day at a time? that they may move forward as a new couple in Christ. Not that they are a perfect couple in Christ. I do not know of a single person in this congregation who are perfect. But I do know one who is perfect and gives us life that can be trusted in him, and he can free us from our past like that old sun going down in 2019, not to be seen again, while the new is coming up to be seen. I think in this new year that we are adapting to and have come to be in is one that we can have great potential and possibilities and hopes and see the better now in the beginning than at the ending in December. I find December, all of that year has been almost lived through. And we have difficulty getting great hopes until the new year has arrived. And it says all things can be made new. Your relationships can be redeemed again. You can have good news, great faith, for I bring to you a freedom for living life each day. We here at First Church have often used as our motto the words from the psalmist who said, "Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Now, if I wasn't retired, I would also tell you what part of the Psalms it came from. But since I am retired, you'll have to look that up yourself. I said those words, and then I gave a little blessing on the food, and we had some nice fellowship, and the day was over. The second thought that comes to my mind, or illustration, comes from a commercial that you and I saw a few years ago put out by Hallmark Cards. Hallmark makes wonderful cards, and in this occasion, it was between a mother and her daughter. And the mother came up to her daughter as the daughter was getting ready to skate, ice skate in competition. And she said, "I have two cards to give you. If you win the contest, read card one. If you lose the contest, read card two." And she gave her daughter a hug and went into the stands and sat and waited for the competition. The daughter was so excited about getting these cards from her mother that she opened the card number one first, already before competition was there. And it said, "Do you think you are valuable?" What a bold statement. What a wonderful statement that mother would say, "Do you think you are valuable?" And then you open the card, "I do love mom." That's simple. All I got to do is win. Well, she opened up the next card. If she didn't win, it had on the outside the same thing. "Do you think you are valuable?" And turns and opened it, "I do love mom." Kind of reminds me of how God works in our lives, is it not? No matter who we are or where we are, God thinks we are valuable. We're important. He loves us no matter what. He loves us on our good days and our bad days. But he loves us with a constant love that never fails. Isn't that what our baptism means to us? God has stamped on us the approval of God's love. We are valuable in his sight. He's equipping us to live life boldly, with great faith as we reach out and live a day at a time. How do I kind of bring this together? How do I help us understand this even better? I think each day I begin a day, a new beginning, not only with the potential of this day being under God's guidance, but the potential that God sees in me and through me by His Spirit. I often have a short prayer in the morning. Oh Lord, my God, I want to give as much as I know and understand of myself. And sometimes that is not very much at all. Depends how I get out of bed. Whether I'm cranky, where I'm happy, or what. But whoever I am and who I am, I want to give that to God, that God can reshape and remold and refill me, because He sees in me potential. He looks at me and there's hope in His eye as He embraces my eyes. And He gives to me greatness that goes beyond what I can see and know and have. And so, I trust as much as I know of who I am at that point, and as much as I know of God at that point. God doesn't change, but somehow our relating to Him does change. There are times that we are closer to Him than not. This should be an experience together, being close to God here in the silence of this room, that He is with us, that He cares for us, and He will guide us into the next day and the next and the next. I'm glad Jesus was baptized. He wasn't baptized because He was a sinner, but because He loves sinners. I'm glad I was baptized, but unlike Jesus, I am a sinner, and I do fall, and I do fail, and I do get upset, and I don't understand simple directions at times, but God understands that. God accepts us as we are at that moment, in that situation. So here in the worship of God, may His Spirit so touch us in our lives that we begin to understand it is a faith journey that we're on, and it's a faith journey that can be renewed every day at the dawn of a new day. The sun comes up in the east and sets in the west. The oldness of life can set in the west every day, but in the next day, be still and know that God's presence will be you with you there, that you may be guided into that presence. Oh yes, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us pour ourselves openly into His presence, allowing His Spirit to work in our midst and through our lives. Mold us, make us, and guide us, that we may be His disciples, and we may say, I am a follower of Jesus. Amen.